today we pray. Please help Stephen Davis. Psalm 98. It's ready. It says, the psalm by David, the Lord reigns, let the peoples be angry. The Lord sits upon the cherubim. Let the earth be shaken. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the peoples. Let them give thanks to your great name, for it is fearful and holy. The king's honor loves judgment. You prepare uprightness, you work judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at the footstool of his feet. For he is holy. Moses and Aaron are among his priests, and Samuel is among those who call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he heard them. He spoke to them in a pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the ordinances he gave them. O Lord our God, you listened to them. O God, you are very merciful to them. While avenging all the way their ways of living. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. This psalm is talking about the greatness of God. It says, the Lord reigns. Let the peoples be angry. Makes ready. It says, tremble. Is that right? Somebody have that?
Yes.
It says, tremble. Let the people tremble. Anyway, the ideas can be drawn the same, but being angry because they are put in derision because God is so good. So great. He reigns. He rules over everything, and they don't like that. But we see the people of the earth being more and more angry with God and with what is good and what is right. The general sense in the world of hating that which is good. And it says, the Lord sits upon the cherubim, let the earth be shaken. Let them do whatever they want to do. God is still God, and he still reigns. And the Lord is great in Zion. And Zion is a picture, Zion being Jerusalem, or the city of God, in the Old Covenant, it was where God's temple was, where his people would come and worship. But now, Zion, that was a type and a picture of the church to come, the kingdom of God. And so now, Zion refers to the people of God throughout the earth. And he is exalted above all the peoples. And it calls us to give thanks to his great name, for it is fearful and holy. Can someone tell me the name that God gave? One of you tell me that the name God gave to Moses to tell Pharaoh who he was.
I am.
If you were going to tell someone, if someone asked you what your name was, and you told them, I am, would that satisfy them? Or remain for you? Probably would it? I mean, but if there's no other way to describe you, see, there is a way to describe you and me. We are our given name, the son of somebody, who is the son of somebody, who is the son of somebody. And we live in a certain area, and we are the way we are because of our parents, or why we look like we do, or act like we do, the way we were raised. There's all kinds of things that describe who we are. So all those can be attributes or describing words, and name is one of those. But God, He can't be described by a word. So just tell him I am. And he is. He exists. He's the existing one. In some of the translations, sometimes it says, I am the existing one. He's without boundaries of time. He doesn't have any time before or after, or days and nights. That means nothing to God. Which is pretty comforting, because he never stops being God. He never stops being in control. And he never stops. He never is unable to see. He's always able to see. You go out in this dark and you can't see. That doesn't matter to God, because he can see just like he does in the day. Because he's not hindered by the absence of light. You know, he can see everything just the same. But those are thoughts about his name. Let them give thanks to your great name, for it is fearful and holy. And that's why it's fearful and holy. Holy meaning set apart. It's not just regular. It's not just common. It's not common. It's not something that is just normal for us. It's lofty and it's holy and it's set apart from all things that are created. It's not a created thing. And then it says, the king's honor loves judgment. And that's what God loves, judgment. He loves it when things are in order and things are judged properly and rightly. And that doesn't mean, like we commonly think of judging somebody or something. That means that he likes it when things are done justly. And things, when someone gives, if you hire someone to do something and you pay them the proper amount for what they've done, that's just judgment. But when you cheat them or rob them of their due service, then God hates that. And that's just one example of how God hates perverted judgment. And he always has, because he's been that way forever. And he works judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Jacob meaning the people of God. And he does that. That's why the laws came in. Because through Moses. Because here he had this people that were obstinate. That were bent on doing evil so much of the time. And so he had to... If he was going to let them live, when Moses stood before the Lord and asked him to spare them because God was willing to just destroy them because their hard hearts are turning back in their heart to Egypt, and he allowed them to live, and he gave them laws to live by, and so he worked judgment and righteousness in Jacob. But then he told them a day later, through his prophets as well, when he would take the seed of what they were doing, producing bad fruit, he would take the seed out. The hard heart, put a heart of flesh, or one that's moldable to his will. And that's what he wants. And that was his desired goal for us. But we had to get to that place. I think mankind did. Anyway. Exalt the Lord our God. And sometimes I think we think about when we hear praise the Lord or exalt the Lord our God or psalms that are kind of, yeah, that's neat, but how do we put things into real working order here? How do we're a rational people. We think about living this Christian life. But part of living this Christian life is not forgetting who God is and why we live this Christian life. Because He is so great, and so and it is true that He is to be exalted and worshiped as the Lord and as God and as the Creator of all things. There's words can't describe Him, and hymn writers have tried for centuries to. And you know, they make a stab at it here and there to give some ideas about how good and great God is. But He outlives all of those, which that's what the Lord, He loves us to do that, especially if we're living in accordance with His will and His desire for us. He wants us to praise Him. So it says, and worship at the footstool of His feet. If heaven is the throne of God, what is His footstool? Bible says, the earth. And that's where we're at. Right here. We're on the earth. And we can worship at the footstool of His feet. For He is holy. And it says, Moses and Aaron are among His priests. And Samuel is among those who call upon His name. Here we have a picture of the law and the priests and the prophets. They called upon the Lord, and He heard them. He spoke to them in a pillar of cloud. They kept His testimonies and the ordinances He gave them. O Lord, our God, You listened to them. You, O God, You were very merciful to them while avenging all their ways of living. He was very merciful to them while He corrected them. Chastise them for disobeying Him, living wickedly, and following after false gods, and doing all the things that they did. Exalt the Lord our God. In other words, this goes right along with He's plentiful, He's plenteous in mercy, like King James says. He's willing to forgive, ready to forgive, and He's good. But He doesn't just, when they're not doing the will of God, He doesn't just act like they are. See, that's where a lot of false religion is today. Just, okay, God's going to overlook that. Well, He doesn't overlook that. And it's all kept in account, and He knows. And He'll judge it. But even in that, He's merciful if they'll turn to Him. What I'd like to give you an assignment for is, it says, O God, You were very merciful to them while avenging all their ways of living. I'd like you boys to think next week, or for the assignment next week, to think about and to come up with at least one example of some of these ways of living, what they were doing that this is talking about, as far as the children of Israel, when they were, especially after leaving Egypt, and then the 40 years journey to Canaan, but even after that, if you want, whatever. What ways of living was God avenging here? And so, you understand that? Okay. That can be your assignment then for the older ones. And examples of how He was merciful to them in those times. Examples of, or texts that would say that, or some way that shows that God was merciful to them, even though around their ways of living that weren't pleasing to Him. Hope that's not too. You understand that? Examples of God's mercy there. Yeah. All right. You can go ahead and do your assignment.
we're supposed to get some...
Excuse me, just...
What do you do?
We're supposed to get a detail about the judgment day. And in Revelation 10, I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who creates heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer.
I have Matthew 25, verses 31 through 33. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left.
And Jude 14 and 15. Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all.
I got Revelation 16, 2. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his image.
Matthew 24, verse 42 through 44. Watch therefore, for ye do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
We're supposed to have a verse and then have a thought about the verse. Or I had Revelations 20, 11 through 15 here. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence the earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, and which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. I was reading through here this week. I thought it was just a pretty sobering thought. What we're supposed to be, I mean, there's not any hope for you.
I had two verses in Hebrews 10, verse 30, where we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I was just thinking that there's always two ways to look at a problem in life, and the best way to discern which way is the right way is to pick the one that's the low road.
Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the deeds, from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. So we can't sin in secret because it's getting written down in the books, and that will all come to light on the day of judgment.
And now, little children, abide in him, and when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And then chapter 4, verse 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
Acts 2, 17 through 20. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven and above, and signs in the earth, meaning blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and noble day of the Lord come. How you live now is how you're going to be judged.
I had John 6, 24. No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me near him, and I will rise up him up on the last day. I just kind of neat how it just talks about it. Just no man can come to me except the Father, and just kind of neat.
I got Romans 14:12, where it talks about each one of us will give an account of himself, and how we live right now is how our account will be when we get to that day.
I had John 5, verse 28 through 30, or 26, I guess. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So just like several other boys said, just if you do good deeds through your life, it's not a judgment, it's a resurrection of life. But if you commit evil deeds, it is a judgment.